Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When we see ourselves as God sees us, we realize that we fall far short of His standards. Our sins stand between us and His holiness. Without outside help, none of us can attain eternal life. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. As we learn about the gift of righteousness, we'll see Martin Luther wrestle with his need to be right with a holy God.
God put forth Jesus. Why? To declare God's righteousness. Jesus died for sinners, but we must understand that Jesus also died for God. Jesus died for God so that God could be set free from the scandal that we've talked about. Having fellowship with Old Testament saints without a final sacrifice, it talks here about the divine forbearance of God. God says, I'm going to save them on credit. I'm going to take their sins, set it aside, have fellowship with them. But a Redeemer is coming who is going to pay their debt as well as the debt of all those who will eventually believe on Jesus. So Jesus died for God to vindicate God's righteousness and to legally get him off the hook and to explain. What about the Old Testament people who were saved, enjoying God without a sacrifice? And you'll notice it says that God set him forth for to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, that word means the turning away of God's wrath against sin. But I don't want you to think of the Father being harsh. He's the one that demands a sacrifice, and the Son is the kind one who goes to the cross. Redemption was planned by the Trinity. It is God who loved the world, and therefore he gave his only begotten Son. God, the complexity of his emotions, both as one who is just and as one who is loving. So Jesus comes, and he is the propitiation for our sins. And in a message some time ago, I emphasized that this is very different than the pagans. You can go online and people will say, oh, Christianity is just like all the other religions. They had their sacrifices too. And they did. The difference is this, that in Christianity, God becomes the sacrifice. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And so it is God who purchases the redemption. It is God who comes and vindicates God the Father, the mystery of the Trinity. Now, with that background, I'd like to introduce you to the gift that is given to all who believe on Jesus, the transforming gift that will impact your ability to live the Christian life from here on out. The gift that I am referring to is the gift of the righteousness of God. In order for us to get into that, because Paul uses that word here, and of course in the book of Romans elsewhere, I do need to refer one more time to Martin Luther and his struggle. You see, what Luther was doing was he was living in an era in which it was believed that if you did enough good works, God would see you good enough to save you. The question was, how many good works do you have to do? He fasted until sometime people thought that he might die. Rebecca and I have been in the cell in which he was there. It's like a cell in the monastery in Erfurt. Hard floor. He slept without blankets to try to mortify the flesh. He confessed his sins up to 6 hours at a time, but his conscience would not be silenced because you don't know how high God's standard is. you go through and you do all these confessions, and then you have to start again tomorrow because it's like mopping the floor with a faucet running. I mean, new sins, and maybe you forgot some of them. Despair. Then he began to teach the book of Romans. You know the story. He gets to chapter 1 and it says, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and he looks at the righteousness of God and hatred against God wells up in his heart. Oh yeah, that's my problem, is the righteousness of God. If he wasn't that righteous, well then maybe I could attain to his standard. But he's so righteous. Love God, said Luther. I hate him. He's given us an impossible standard. But as Luther began to look in Romans 1 and then got to Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4, he began to realize something. Righteousness is an attribute of God, but it is also a gift given to sinners. And look at what it says in chapter 4 regarding Abraham. This was true also in the Old Testament. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham certainly wasn't righteous, but he was credited with righteousness because he believed. Paul wants to show that what he's teaching was consistent, really, with the Old Testament. And then when he gets to chapter 5, you'll notice that the text says here very clearly in chapter 5 that this is gift righteousness. Verse 16, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, there it is, reign in life through Jesus Christ. So what I'd like to do today is to give you three or four characteristics of this gift of righteousness that is legally conferred on all who believe on Jesus, so that now we can reach God's standard, because God gives us what we need to do that. Let me give you those characteristics. First of all, obviously it's a free gift. Obviously, because it's the kind of righteousness of which you and I have none. We can't contribute to it. We can't do anything about it. God took our goodness and he put it on the shelf. And across it he wrote, unusable. Can't use your goodness. It's all tainted with sin. And so what I do is I set aside human goodness as unusable. If there was something really, truly holy and good about us, God would have to acknowledge that. But in the book of Romans, it shows that there's nothing to acknowledge. So God says, I set aside human sin, and now what I'm going to do is independent of human beings. You see, the righteousness of God is not just human righteousness lifted to a higher power. It's entirely different. It has to be a gift. It is a gift that is unearned. It is a gift that we can never repay. But there's something else about it. Because it's a gift, God doesn't find it more difficult to save big sinners than lesser ones. God saves some terrible sinners. There could be some people listening to this message, and you know the things that you have done. I would think that since this message goes in different parts of the world and on the radio, I'm speaking to people who know right well that they are criminals. And you're saying to yourself, can that righteousness be applied to me? And I say, absolutely, because it's a righteousness independent of human works. It's much better to live a good life than a criminal life, but as far as righteousness is concerned, God gives the same righteousness to everybody. God can receive you. So it has to be, of necessity, a free gift. That's why it's called gift righteousness in Romans chapter 5. There's a second characteristic of this gift, and that is that it is a perfect gift, obviously. Because it's God's righteousness. You see, because it belongs to him, and he says, I'm conferring it on you. I'm crediting it to your account. I'm crediting it to your account. Therefore, your debt is fully being paid by me. Of course, it can't be improved upon, nor can it in any way be diminished. It is as perfect as God. See, Luther knew something that his generation lost, and our generation certainly is lost, that in order to get to heaven, you have to be as perfect as God. Well, that's difficult to do in ourselves, isn't it? Wives, look at your husband and say, on that basis, you're not making it. So it is a perfect gift. It is God's righteousness. Third, it is a permanent gift. It's permanent. Once received, it takes you all the way to heaven. If I may one more time refer to Martin Luther, was he saved during those days when he was confessing his sins? Of course not. You see, because as he confessed his sins, the next day he was loaded again with new sins, and you really don't know where you stand. Salvation does not come through confession. Can't remember all your sins. Even if you did, as I've already emphasized, tomorrow's another day with brand new ones. Where do you go? But once he understood that salvation was a free gift, that is to say that the righteousness of God was credited to him, and that it was his permanent possession through faith in Jesus Christ, now it freed him. And one of the doctrines that he gave up soon after was purgatory, because purgatory said nobody dies good enough to go to heaven, so there are the fires of purgatory that finally purge you so that you can have entrance. And he says, if I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ, I go from this life to the next, and I'm deposited in heaven as if I am Jesus. And if you know Christ as your Savior, when you die, you'll be welcomed into heaven as if you are Jesus. And I'd say that that's really good news for sinners, isn't it? I think it's wonderful, somebody says over there. Yeah. Now, if you're not a sinner, well, talk to me later and I'll give you a little bit of help. It is therefore a permanent. It says in the book of Hebrews, he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. You know, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. From my heart to yours, I want you to realize that seldom a day of my life goes by without me taking delight in the doctrine that you've just been hearing about here on Running to Win, namely that we receive Christ's righteousness when we receive him as Savior. And to think there's more to come.
Today, Erwin Lutzer continued a series on the inheritance of the redeemed. The book of Romans is central in understanding the righteousness of God. Next time, why this gift covers our sins and fits us for eternity. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.